Oh, so you have a full Saturday night here. It's very nice that you all come to Krishna's temple on the weekend for your enjoyment and upliftment. Hearing about Krishna is the actual pleasure in life. In the third canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, Lord Kapila Dev explains, Satam prasangan mama viryasam vido bhavanti hit karna prasayana kata. The Lord says that when the devotees come together and talk about him, the effect is more powerful than what you do on your own. There's more virya, more potency. And also, the taste, the rasa, becomes sweeter to the ear. When more than one person glorifies Krishna, the effect becomes more concentrated. Certainly there's benefit in reading on your own, chanting on your own. You're supposed to do that. You cannot ignore that. But it is also true that when serious hearers and chanters of the glories of the Lord come together, then the effect is more powerful and more sweeter. So we need the association of devotees. And a serious devotee is always hankering for the association of other devotees for the purpose of glorifying Krishna. In Bhagavad Gita, Lord Krishna says, Machatamat Gataprana Bhuryanta Pradaspara. The thoughts of his devotees are centered on him. They're always talking about him. Tushyanticha Ramanticha. In this way, they're satisfied and they enjoy life. Gathering together and discussing Krishna. So you have to try that. That is real human culture. To do your daily duties during the day for maintaining the body, maintaining the family. But in the mornings and evenings, you should have some moments for coming together with other devotees, even if it's just your own family, and glorifying Krishna, discussing the glories of Krishna. Otherwise, you'll find you talk about so many things. It's not that you don't have time to talk. If you do not invest your time in discussing the glories of Lord Krishna, you'll be forced by the material energy to talk about so many other things. There's no doubt that materialists cannot understand how it is that people can benefit just by coming to the temple, sitting down and hearing Krishna's glories. Material life means you think you are the enjoyer, and you are going to dedicate the energies of your life to trying to satisfy your senses. That is what material life means. That is what it means to be a materialist. Whether you're rich or you are poor, if you use your life to satisfy your own senses, then you are a materialist. Sometimes people think that only the rich people are materialists. Rich person means whoever's got more money than me. That person's rich. I remember when I was going to private school in the USA, and full of children of wealthy families. I was a scholarship student, so you don't call it scholarship here. What do you call it? Scholarship? Yes. So most of this, almost in fact, all the students were from, you know, very wealthy families. So, I remember they used to argue or talk about the other students. Yeah, that guy, he's rich. Yeah, his father was worth, you know, $3 million, and this family was only worth $1 million. So they, you know, they would refer scornfully to the other about the other student. Yeah, his father's rich. So that tendency is there to always think that those who have more money than we do, they are the materialists, whereas we have just what we need to live a balanced life. But no, that is not the criterion. The criterion is Do you think the purpose of your life is to satisfy your senses? Or do you think the purpose of your life is to satisfy Krishna's senses? Those two purposes entail totally different cultures. That means in Krishna consciousness we aim to establish, indeed, a different culture. A culture based on hearing and chanting the glories of the Lord. Because Krishna does things that you cannot get to the end of their glories. You cannot understand Krishna fully because Krishna is unlimited. And if we dedicate our life to just understanding the knowledge of Krishna that is given to us, we don't have enough time. Just like in reading Srila Prabhupada's books, you don't have a long enough life to assimilate and master all the information in his books. Maybe some of you have tried. You've read Bhagavatam and Chaitanya Charitamrita once, twice, three times, and you might have thought, okay, I've got it all down. I've read. But then, years later, you pick up the same book and it's like, you see so many newer things and deeper things because the subject matter is ever fresh. Krishna is Navayovana. He's the ever-fresh youth. He's also known as Naveen Madan, the ever-fresh Cupid. In the material world, the youth becomes stale and old. And the Cupid of the material world also becomes stale and old. Because of the all-pervasive effect of the time factor. We've been talking about that in the morning. The time factor rules supreme. And destroys everything, spoils the taste in everything. Just like you may have a nice, fresh, juicy peach. And when it's in its fresh condition, it looks so nice and attractive. But if you just leave it for some time, it will decompose. It will become very unattractive. Everything influenced by time is like that. Material objects, material emotions, it's a very disturbing realization to see that emotions are under the influence of time. You felt for somebody a certain way 1 year, then the next year, or even the next month, or the next week, it's totally different. Yes. I see many of the older persons here nodding their head. They know. Yes. Yes, it's like that. 1 minute you're in rapture. The next minute, get out of my life. I never want to see you again. How can that be? Because of the time. Time spoils everything. It won't let things remain fresh. People, however, are attracted to freshness. That's why older people generally like, you know, young children, new babies, because you feel like you're in contact with the freshness of life still. Even when you're much older and you have children who have children, you want to be around your grandchildren because you feel young, you know, being in contact with some youthful or infantile freshness that's coming from your bloodline. You feel, yes, yes, I'm in touch with youth. So, there's no doubt that people are attracted to freshness and youth, and that is Krishna's specialty. Krishna never ages. He remains as a perfect teenager. When you think of your teenage years, so embarrassing. These days, the embarrassments start at the age of 12. Formerly, you know, you'd really have to wait until you were 16 to do stupid stuff, or even 18. But now, the stupidity starts at the age of 12. I was talking to someone today, you know. Just 18, and when the person thinks back about the previous year, it's like, teenage years are a problem. You're bewildered about your body, you're bewildered about your mind, about your self-identity. What do the others think of me? Am I getting all the pleasure that everyone else is getting? Am I being cool? So teenage years are very bewildering. But for Krishna, the teenage years are unlimited perfection. Therefore, he's known as Naveen Madan, the ever-fresh Cupid. He specializes in exploiting the teenage years. That is Krishna. Without one problem. Without one drop of material contamination. And he never ages. His body remains ever fresh. And his smile is completely hypnotic. You can meditate on Krishna's smile eternally. So, when we make Krishna the center of our life, that means we have the unlimited beauty in the center of our life. Everyone likes beauty. You want in your homes to have some beautiful things. Even in the most simple house, some of these householders have very simple homes, but still, you want a few attractive objects in your house. Because everyone wants to add beauty to their life. You can see even devotees, they dress simply. But you can tell, they like to have something nice. Because everyone is hankering for beauty. Not simply the ladies like to dress in nice things, but the men also. You know, this hankering for beauty is there in us because we're hankering for Krishna. The more that Krishna is in your life, the more beauty there is there. Also, the more wealth you have. Wealth, as we discussed earlier, is not simply financial. You have to learn to look at wealth in a different way if you want a successful life. Wealth means internal satisfaction and internal growth. So many people may have lots of money, but inside they're like a desert. Inside they've dried up. They're suffering so much inside. But because they have money, people think, oh, they are successful. In Krishna consciousness, we are trying to cultivate a different kind of wealth. The wealth of self-satisfaction attained by serving Krishna. The knowledge that anytime, any place, anywhere, you can be happy just by glorifying Krishna. That is real wealth. The Krishna conscious lifestyle, the bhakti yoga lifestyle, is full of spiritual sense objects. We discussed several times how materialists fear that if they give up the material sense objects, their life will become empty. The fact is that the life of a devotee is full of sense gratification. Sense gratification must be there in any kind of life you live. The basis of material life is sense gratification, and the basis of spiritual life, bhakti yoga, is sense gratification. The difference is, or the essential question is, whose senses are to be gratified? That you have to decide. You have to come to a decision. Since you must engage in sense gratification, whose are the senses that you should gratify? Bhakti yoga means to focus on gratifying Krishna's senses. And material life needs to focus on gratifying your own senses. Your own senses includes those bodies in relation to your body. That is known as the projected false ego. Not only your body, but the bodies in relation to your body. Your partner, your children, your countrymen, your neighbors, that's all included in the extended sense of I and mine. So when you think about their sense gratification, it's still thinking about your own sense gratification because they are part of your extended identity. You should look in your life and see how at every moment you're dealing with sense gratification. Bhakti yoga means to switch the focus on the senses of limited entities to the senses of the unlimited Supreme Personality of Godhead. In this way, everyone is concerned with sense gratification, whether they are transcendentalists or not. By simply being concerned with your own sense gratification, your life becomes very empty, very distorted, twisted, and you die uselessly. Just think practically. Do you really want to have the feeling that you've lived uselessly? Like, what was the point? Did you really do in your life anything different than anybody else did? To die uselessly. To have means you lived uselessly. You did not find out who you are, why you're here. You busied yourself with temporary things. And then the moment of death comes and you know not where you're going. You don't even know why you should die. Why that process is there and how you can avoid it. That means you've lived uselessly. You should not let that happen to you. Don't become enamored by your present good health, your present youth, your present wealth. Those things will be swept away by time so easily. Remember what King Muchukunda told Krishna in the Krishna book? He was reciting his autobiography of a sense gratifier. He was saying that he was a powerful king, and he had so much opulence, so many submissive followers. He would ride everywhere on his chariot very proudly. Everyone would do what he said. Everyone would Everyone would carry out his order. But he said the ironic thing is, although he was so powerful and everyone carried out his order, when night came, he would have to go into the chamber of his queens and fall down at their feet and beg for sense gratification, although he was the big king. And he also said one very revealing statement. He said, "I forgot about time, but time did not forget about me." Very revealing statement about our psychology in material life. We're trying to urge everyone to take responsibility for their life and not just drift along, but to analyze how you can use your years for the highest purpose. I was talking to someone today who the doctors say has between 3 and 6 months to live. Of course, the doctors are not omniscient. Sometimes they say that and people live many years. Any case, from the conventional point of view, this person had 3 or 6 months to live. So what would you do in that situation? That will come to you. That time will come to you. The body does break down. Now, what are you going to do about that? It is much easier to face these questions when you are healthy, and then you'll be prepared for the inevitable demise of the body. It is inevitable. It will happen. Now, what are you going to do? Think about it now while you're healthy. I was listening to this lady, and she was describing how, you know, she's starting to chant japa, but after one round, she doesn't have the physical energy to chant more. She's starting to read Bhagavad Gita, but after 45 minutes of reading, she can't, you know, she doesn't have the physical strength to read more. So this is a very, in one sense, it's a difficult time to start Krishna consciousness. In another sense, you're never too late. Start vigorously from the moment you find out about Krishna. But my point is that it's best to start these things when you're in optimal health, when your health is its best. Just like if you hear about someone who's diagnosed as being in their last months in this world, and you hear that they married somebody. Generally, everyone said, well, this is sentimental. Yeah, you just, the person doesn't have the strength to really make a go of the relationship. Well, that could also be true about Krishna consciousness. Krishna consciousness should be started when you are young and healthy. That is Prahlad Maharaj's conclusion in the 7th canto of Bhagavatam. He told his school friends, we were seeing the video of the play you had here on Lord Nrisimhadev's appearance day. So, I think Moni Bunda's daughter was Prahlad. So she was preaching to her schoolmates. And one thing that Prahlad Maharaj said at 5 years old to his schoolmates was, Komara acharit pragyo dharman bhagavataniha durlabha manasam janma tadap yudruvamaktatam. From the very beginning of life, from your early years as a young child, you should take up the pursuit of Bhagavad Dharma, the science of God. It is true that this human body is temporary, but still it has value, even though it's a product of time and it's temporary. The value is that with the human body, you have to develop consciousness to understand talks like we're having now about the science of the Supreme, Krishna consciousness. Furthermore, this human body is very difficult to get. So many other species you could have taken birth in. You could have been a shark swimming off the shore of Perth. But instead, you are a human being in birth with the developed consciousness to discuss the science of God. So Prahlad Maharaj at 5 years old is saying, don't delay. He's telling his 5-year-old schoolmates, start now. And we're so silly, we think, well, I'm in my 20s, maybe I first should do other things, and when I'm older, I can practice Krishna consciousness. When we're in our 30s, we think like that. When we're in our 40s, even when we're in our 50s, well, you know, I'm not quite near death yet, so there's no need for me to fully immerse myself in spiritual knowledge. I'm not quite in the hospital yet. While I'm healthy, and, you know, I'm 55, 60, you know, I want, God gave us these bodies to enjoy. So, come back and see me when I'm on my deathbed. Then I'll be better able to, you know, meditate on spiritual matters. Now, I could... Of course, it's very glorious that this lady, in her last months, in what appeared to be her last months, is struggling to be Krishna conscious. But the fact is, it'll go much easier if you start when times are nice, when your mental powers and faculties are full, when your body is not disturbing you so much. You all know what it's like to be sick and in an upset condition because of bad health. So, when you have good health, you should practice your Krishna consciousness so that you'll be competent to navigate the troublesome seas of when you have bad health. That is proper use of your lifestyle. Don't delay your dedication to transcendental knowledge. Now is the time to begin. Best is childhood. Komara acharit pragya. If not that, then as soon as you hear about Krishna, you should begin, seriously. Then you can make the best use of your human life. So there should be a sense of urgency. You should look into your individual life and see, do you have this sense of urgency there? We were discussing, I think, yesterday about the Perth modes of nature. You know, everything will be all right, you know. There's no real problems. Yeah. Nothing to get excited about. The days come, the days go. Winter, summer, you know. We're just here in Perth, isolated from everyone. Everyone is nice. Yeah, they're criminals here, but they're not that bad. The there's some poor people, but they're not that poor. It's a friendly city, and the pace is nice. Yeah. And everybody basically leaves each other alone. Yeah. You know, there's plenty of space to just hide away and be yourself, whatever that is. You get a little job, yeah. Maybe you go to the university or go to the TAFE, and just do some little things and have your own little life, and on and on and on it goes. And to be honest, from Germany, it's totally different there. You must endeavor great strength and determination. Otherwise, you're not a German. You must drive at 180 kilometers per hour on the Autobahn. You must. You must work hard to have a good car. And you must have a good home. You must be industrious. That's life in Germany. But when, as soon as Germans leave Germany, they just like... It's so intense. So I asked Juliana, I didn't ask her, she was telling me, Germany, I don't think I'll be going back there. Perth's kind of nice. It's a unique experience for her, just to be laid back and, get into the Perth mood. Immune to time, that is Perth. Oblivious to time. Just be a good citizen in Perth, Don't be too good. This is no fun if you're too good. Don't be too bad. We have to be mindful of the effects of material nature, where we live. Especially if you don't travel a lot, it's very easy to become caught in the characteristics of a particular place and start to identify with it. You have to be careful about that. And that way your spiritual progress can be impeded because you're just kind of sinking into the earth here. And you think time will forget about you. No, time does not forget about people in Perth or Germany or anywhere. It's like, Perth will fade away. This place wasn't always called Perth. Just as the Mercedes will rust, similarly Perth will fade away. When you're in Germany on the Autobahn and just, in the left lane, because they drive on the right-hand side of the road, so in the left lane, just one BMW after another, one Mercedes after another, a few Porsches, just all shiny and new. You just think it's going to always be like that. Every time I go to Germany, there's always a new car shooting down the left lane at close to 200 kilometers per hour. And so people just start to think, this is life. There'll always be new cars, there'll always be shiny. Life will go on in that way. And here in Perth, you can always think, it'll be peaceful. Everyone will have, more or less what they need. Of course, everyone can always have more. There'll be all the time in the world to sort ourselves out and live our life. No one should pressure us. No one should push us. That's the Perth way of life. But time is no friend of any location in the material world. Time is wearing everything down. If we're intelligent, we'll arrange our life to avoid being victimized by time. Now, that is your individual responsibility. Think about it. This is a non-sectarian appeal. What are you doing that you can say, I'm avoiding victimization by time? You have that responsibility because you have human life. Those who are dedicated to hearing Krishna's glories, they do become immune to time. That's the only way. The Bhagavatam states, Ayurhadati Vayapun Sam, Vajan Astanchyana So. Both the sun's rising and setting diminish the lifespan of everyone, except those who are hearing the glories of the Lord. Hearing about Krishna is the only thing that satisfies the self. Have you ever noticed, try as you might, that you're not satisfied hearing about your activities or someone else's activities? Have you ever tried just to hear about your own activities or someone else's activities? Maybe, for example, you might be reading a biography of someone, or a history of this or that, or even the newspaper. Some of you read the newspaper every day, yes? Bob, you read the newspaper every day? But some of you read the newspaper every day. Not that there's anything wrong with that. You know. I look at the news every day, not on a newspaper, on the internet. I just get it sent free to my mailbox. Just the basic headlines, you know. We should know to some extent what's going on in the world. So, how many of you have ever thought to reread a newspaper? That newspaper was, yesterday's newspaper was really great. I'm going to read it again. Has anyone ever done that? Of course not. You read, if you do read the whole thing, still you throw it out. Similarly, an autobiography of whoever. Have you ever thought to read it again and again repeatedly? No. Because they're about subjects that are ruled by time. Therefore, the freshness goes very quickly. But when you read about Krishna's glories, you become immune to time. Just as Krishna's glories are beyond time, simply when you hear about Krishna's glories, you become immune to time. So we hope that you will all work to establish in Perth a culture of timelessness based on hearing Krishna's glories and discussing them. And what is the reward that Krishna offers you for dedicating your life to being absorbed in his glories? In Bhagavad Gita he says, Janma karma chame divyam evam yoveti tatvata chakva deham puna janma naiti maameti sarjuna. Krishna says, if you can understand the transcendental truth about his appearance in this world and his activities in this world, then upon giving up your material body, you will not take another material body. That means you'll be free from time. This is very important. So don't think it's any just small sentimental thing that we are gathering and discussing Krishna and chanting Hare Krishna. No, it is the most serious and most practical process, how to become free from time. This Krishna conscious culture is the culture of deathlessness. Certainly, yes, the material body of devotees will fall, just like everybody else's material body. That's the only thing in common, though. The material body of both the devotee and the non-devotee will fall. But the destinations of the persons are completely different. To someone with untrained eyes, death looks like the same for everybody. All types of people die, whatever they are. Atheists, deists, devotees of Krishna, Christians, this, that, whatever, everybody dies. Death is the great equalizer, it seems, from a physical point of view. The example is given that from your external point of view, it looks the same when a cat holds a kitten in its mouth and when it holds a mouse in the mouth. It looks the same. But if you could talk to the kitten or the mouse, you would find out that they're feeling completely different. states of consciousness. The mouse is terrified, and the kitten is feeling love. But they're both held in the mouth of the cat. Similarly, from to untrained eyes, to the external point of view, it looks like both devotees of Krishna and non-devotees undergo the same experience at death, but that is not so. For the devotee, death is a transferal of service. You go to a new location for serving Krishna. And for a non-devotee, death means going to the unknown. And therefore there's such terror. And just imagine how upset you would be if someone came to your house and kicked you out of your house. You must leave now! You must leave! And you had no idea where to go. What to speak of the time of death when you're kicked out of your body and you have no idea where to go? I was recently in Central Europe, Eastern Europe, countries like Lithuania, Poland, which have been just traditional main thoroughfares for invading armies going this way and that way. Just like in Ukraine. Those of you who read my travel report about Ukraine. The Germans busted the place up on the way in, and as the Russians were retreating eastward into Russia from Ukraine, they busted the place up on the way out. Their idea was, since the Germans were coming in, the Russians wanted to destroy all the industry and destroy all the crops so the Germans would have nothing to thrive on. So they destroyed the whole country and then retreated further east to Moscow. Then the Germans busted into the country and, of course, devastated it on the way in. And then they sat there for maybe a couple of years. Then the Russians got stronger and came back westward and busted the place up more on their way in, and then as the Germans were retreating westward to Germany, they busted the place up more on the way out. So these countries have just been raised again and again. That means you could just be an innocent person living in your village, and an army just comes to your door and just get out. We're taking over your house. We want to use it as a military outpost. Or you have to flee the village because it's being bombed and strafed and set on fire or whatever. First you do it because the army's coming in from the west. Then you do it because the army's coming in from the east. You don't know which way to turn. Talk about insecurity. In Ukraine, the people were so... They had been terrorized, they felt, from their point of view, by the Russians, that when Hitler came in with his armies, when he sent his armies, they welcomed him. Like, well, this has got to be better than the Russians. But their dreams were faded very quickly. As under Hitler's direction, the army set to work deporting people, to millions of people, to work in Germany in the war factories, and of course deporting millions of Jews to kill. So very quickly the people realized, hey, the Nazis are no saviors. This is what it's like living in material consciousness. The remedy is worse than the disease. You don't know where to turn. At any moment you can be kicked out. That is what death is like. And death will come to us all. So we should seriously shape our life to deal with reality. That is a sign of intelligence. Not simply, I have a university degree, I have a good job, my mortgage is paid, therefore I'm successful. No. What is your plan for dealing with the whole gamut of your life, the whole scope of your life, including death? That is success. All right, so any questions? It's a lot to think about.
single verse, every little bit of every book.
If I tell you the answer, will you do it?
Because I'm not very good at studying, but
But if I tell you the answer, will you do it? Maybe. The main thing is that you chant the Hare Krishna mantra and you read the books that Srila Prabhupada has given us. That'll equip your life for success. Learn how to engage your senses in Krishna service. Otherwise you're going to be forced by material nature to serve something with your senses, right? Just name me some things that you feel you'll be forced to do. Or you've been forced to do. Yes, you have to work. What does work mean? You got to do what the boss says, right? Otherwise you don't get any money. What else? What other way are you forced? Yes, when the weekend comes, what happens? You have to find someone, right? Otherwise you feel lonely, right? You have to go looking, right? And you have to work. You have to make sure you act in a certain way. Yes. Right? Huh? It's work. How interesting. Tell me more. And you really couldn't care less, right? 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 Hear that, ladies. He's a truthful man. You just want to push on the male program, right? 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 The male program, the man's program. Right? Yeah, of course. But to do that, you have to pretend, right? Oh, interesting. Now, your conversation is so fascinating. Such pretense you have to put on, right? Just to satisfy your senses. What other ways are you forced to? Family. Obligations, right? Because you come from the same blood, then you have these obligations. So there's society, there's family, there's your own senses demanding of you. Where's the freedom? How many years have you lived like this?
23.
23. So you're ready for a change? Okay, you've come to the right place. You think you can do it?
I'd like to do it. I don't know if I can or not, but I want to.
If you want to do it, you can do it. Krishna consciousness is actually not very difficult. But because we've been so conditioned, that's what makes for the difficulties. So you have to spend some time cleaning yourself up, deconditioning yourself. You're 23, you can do it. It's like Juliana's 18. She's determined to do it. She told me that. I've done all that stuff before. I'm just tired. No more. Did you feel like that when you were 18? No, you still were hoping that, yeah, I'm going to have a good time, right? Anyway, whatever age you are, when you understand that you cannot be successful satisfying your senses, at that age you should begin your Krishna consciousness. Maybe somebody here won't really start until they're 70. All right, still, you can begin. It's more difficult to start when you're older, because when you get very old, you're like a fossil, you know, you just can't change, you're petrified. But there always are exceptions. It's easier to start when you're 23. So you make the Hare Krishna mantra the mainstay of your life. You read Srila Prabhupada's books, associate with devotees. You can succeed. You've done everything else already, right? You've done the parties, you've had the girlfriends, right? You've wasted yourself with various substances, right? So, leave it aside. You've already done it. Now, finally, do yourself some good. You can succeed. Any other questions? Rob, you had a question?
Yeah, I was going to ask, how do we kind of interact regularly with the product of scraps, so to speak, to people? How do we develop that full product and maintain it?
Well, sometimes we just need someone who's going to help us. Someone who's going to remind us in a nice way. Rob, did you change your rounds today? And suddenly, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. Sometimes there's a time in some men's life when that is required. And then suddenly they find new strengths, you know, in themselves. You know what I mean? That's true for most men. Nothing special is true for most men. Most men are motivated, you know, by a good companion. That gives the man the strength to struggle in the world and achieve and, you know, do all those male kind of things, you know? So? That's a consideration you can have. It's very easy if you just try to increase gradually. Try increasing, like you've held at 8 rounds for a long time, right? Yeah. So try to go up 1 every week or 1 every 2 weeks. It's a painless method. You'll find that your perception of how much time you have will increase as you increase your chanting, because it's your own mind that's slowing you down. As you start to chant more, you'll find that you can utilize time much better because your mind speeds up.
Does that mean your clarity of thoughts?
Yes. 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 Without a doubt. It's passionate ignorance that's weighing your mind down. But as you rise above passionate ignorance, you become more efficient. Your brain works better. So don't think, oh, how can I chant more? Now I have no time. This is a common mistake. The more you chant, the more you'll be able to utilize time expertly. Because your consciousness will be more alert and refined. So please understand that. And then you need an arrangement for association and support. You have to be honest. It's hard practicing Krishna consciousness on your own. It can be done, but it's difficult. Srila Prabhupada once said that anything can be tolerated in good association. So if you're kind of isolated, you know, year after year on your own, and you're naturally, you know, no man is an island. No woman is an island. So, you know, you'll be more inspired if you have some kind of association. You have to practically arrange for devotional association in your life. Come here more often. Is it far away on the other side of town or something? Oh, that's a long 20 minutes. Well, why don't you plan how you can come here more often? To rejuvenate your spirits. I think it's about time for that, don't you think? Huh?
Well,
yes. That's twice in 1 week, huh? So it a point to come more often and be part of the devotional community. You got to associate with somebody. In spite of whatever imperfections they may have you found anyone more enlivening and enlivening and rewarding to associate with than devotees? Huh? Have you? No. No. You've tried talking to everyone else, right? You've tried, haven't you? It's dry, isn't it? At first you think it's going to be exciting, huh? Talking about mundane things, right? But then you notice the taste goes so quickly. You notice that? It's like, huh? So why don't you just end your, what is it, 5 years you've been coming around here? Yeah. Why don't you just, you know, okay, you took the slow train, but, you know, the slow train does arrive. All right, so why don't you just admit the slow train has arrived? You've made your point. You've taken it as slow as you can, but now the train's come in, right? Wouldn't you say the train is basically pulling into the station, right? Yeah. All right. Everyone's been waiting for years. Okay, so now, you know, start to pick up the pace a little bit, you know? Any other questions? Okay. It's going to make a real difference in your life. It's going to make a... You're sure now. This question is what you need answered to make a big change, right? Okay. Well, listen. Me too, yeah. Yeah. Yeah, most of them are okay. But you know the Hare Krishnas, they're all a bit strange. God of Abraham than the God of Arjuna? They're different?
No, I believe it's the same.
Yes. Then you have to find out about that same God. Your problem is you don't have any deep knowledge of God. So that you have to find out. When there's knowledge, then you'll understand. But are you willing to invest some time in developing knowledge? Yeah, you've got to find out. Just like if you go looking for gold and you don't know what gold is, anybody could tell you anything is gold. Yellow stones are gold. You'd be cheating. You have to actually take some time to educate yourself. Not just believe in religion, whatever that is. You have to educate yourself in the science of the soul, the science of the Supreme Soul. Okay? So if you do that, your life will be successful. Ladies, no questions? Yes? There'll be a short class after Prabhupada's Guru Puja. I like to chant to finish my rounds before getting on the plane, because when I get to Melbourne, it's going to be, what, 3 hours later? It'll be two and a half. Two. Some say three, some say two. Two. 2 hours, okay. So it'll be, the plane will land at 2:30 in Melbourne, which means I'll be plunked down in the middle of the afternoon, so I want to have my Hare Krishna meditation finished before boarding the airplane. Otherwise, you know, I give all these talks about how we need to chant Hare Krishna carefully, and then, you know. See me dash out, you know, and, you know, chanting in the car or chanting in the airplane. Or, that's not very nice. I have to practice what I preach, you know. These senior devotees have to set the example of cherishing the Hare Krishna mantra. Then the younger devotees will do that. If we just say, yes, everyone must chant with attention, and then, you know, everybody can tell after a while. Everyone can see. So you have to allow me to do what I need to do in order to remain spiritually viable. In Australia, the politicians, they like that word viable. Yeah, it's one of those political words. You know, it sounds like it means something, but it doesn't mean anything. In the States, the politicians use it all the time. What we need is a viable means for... It doesn't really mean anything, you know, but it just sounds like an action-packed word. You can tell a phony politician in the States by how often he uses the word viable. So I use it also in Australia. Yeah. So, it's been very nice being with you all, and yes, we'll have a short class tomorrow. What is more important, to have a long Guru Puja Kirtan or a long class? Or you'll have a vote. Who votes for the long Kirtan? Raise your hands. Okay, who votes for the longer class? Raise your hands. Oh, you voted twice. It looks like the longer class won, you would say? Okay, all right. All right, thank you very much. All glories to Prabhupada. Arriba.